Coming up, he is a man on a mission, starring in his nationally and internationally syndicated award-winning TV show.
You really can have it all, it all, it all, it all, it all, it all. Welcome to Having It All, featuring experts and pioneers in health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, creating a healthier, wealthier, happier you. And now, here's your host, the Miracle Mama, Marbeth Dunn.
I have been working on my health. I've been focusing on lifestyle, and it really has been making a big difference. It can be so easy to get caught up in the daily grind and forget to take care of me. Sometimes I forget to meditate. And when I'm traveling or with friends, I slip and I eat foods that really don't serve me. Can you relate? And then there's my love-hate relationship with exercise. Fortunately, I have learned to go easy on myself. I choose meals that are predominantly vegetable, and I've been learning the amazing art of food combining, which has been slimming me down. It feels really good. This morning, I decided to swim. Great exercise. It was so delicious. And I feel as long as I'm doing something positive every day, that's good. Could be yoga. Could be Pilates. Maybe I'll go to the gym or take a walk, but I want it to be enjoyable. That really seems to be important. And mindfulness is another story. I've been working on being more present, to be more aware of my body's messages, to take time to breathe, to meditate, but I do tend to stress, and I know that I am not alone. It's been a matter of really being aware of what triggers me. So I am really thrilled to have as our guest tonight, Dr. Partha Nandy. He is the creator and host of Ask Dr. Nandy, which is a medical lifestyle TV show, reaches 95 million homes daily, and he is also the chief health editor at WXYZ ABC Detroit. He's a practicing physician and a renowned international speaker, and a practicing gastroenterologist in Detroit. So welcome, Partha. I am so thrilled to have you on the show.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me, Marbeth.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. So, wow, there's just so much I want to talk with you about. It's I love what you're doing. I just have to tell you, it's just so refreshing to have a medical doctor who's aware of nutrition, who is just aware of alternative means and meditation. And I just admire you. And I love that you're taking your message worldwide.
Well, thank you, Marbeth. I feel like I've been blessed. I often tell people I'm the guy who shows up at the office bowling party who's part of he's a professional bowler or these guys who come to the softball game and really comes in and, he's a guy who's been like a semi-professional baseball player. And the reason I say that is because, my background is such. I was born in India and I came when I was very young, 9 years of age, but I still remember the stuff that we call New Age or Eastern medicine was just something that was part of life, and so my parents taught me how to meditate, how to pray, how to incorporate spirituality in my life every single day. It wasn't just something that, it's something that you had to think about, and it's kind of like what you talked about. You said no matter what, every day you move, you do Pilates, you walk, or you do some exercise. They taught me that being spiritual is kind of like breathing, so that's why it really affected my life, and I've incorporated that into my practice, and I really think that we have a movement. I started with a movement in my family, in my practice, my community, and now we want to make health heroes worldwide, and so I'm excited.
And that's why you wrote your book.
That's exactly right. And my new book is coming out. It's Ask Dr. Nandy, and it's 5 Steps to Becoming Your Own Health Hero, for Longevity, Well-Being, and a Joyful Life. It's being published in September by Simon & Schuster. It's coming out September 12th. And the reason, really, I'll tell you, my journey for writing this book was that, you know, when I was very young, like I told you, when I was in India, I almost lost my life, and I was 6 years of age. I was like any other kid who was driving their parents nuts, and you know, all of a sudden, I stopped doing that. It was kind of fun for about 2 weeks for my parents. Then they started getting worried. I wouldn't do anything at all, and essentially, I got so ill that they were taking me from doctor to doctor, and they even took me to some Eastern doctors. And what happened was, you'd be surprised that I was actually covered in garlic for an entire day. I was covered in mustard oil for an entire day because parents, man, I tell you, we're desperate. You know, when our kid's not doing well, everything stops. So, and then finally my mom and my dad insisted on going to a pediatrician that was really renowned, and it was Christmas Eve. I remember even today, Christmas Eve when I was 6 years of age, and he said, we don't have, you know, too much time here. We got to admit him to the hospital. So at 6 years of age, I was admitted on Christmas Eve, and I spent the next couple of weeks getting, you know, held down, poked and prodded just to find out what's going on, and finally it was discovered I had rheumatic heart disease. And, you know, I lived. I was on steroids. I was like the Michelin man boy, rather, puffed up for almost a year and a half, and was on bed rest and took penicillin until I was 15. Told me how important it was and how important medicine was, and that kind of paved my path towards becoming a physician. And I was a physician for a while, and then 9 years ago, another event that changed my life and led me to this path of what I'm doing is my dad had a devastating stroke. He was the strongest man I ever known, and he was crippled by the stroke, and I became the caregiver. Remember, you know, I thought that I was a very good doctor and I empathized with people, but I really realized how little I knew from the other side. That is what it's like to be a caregiver, what it's like to be a patient. And I said to myself, we need to do better. We need to arm our patients, arm our families with more information, not just in the crisis situation that I was in, but also in health. And so we started our own television show with the help of a producer from Los Angeles, one station in Detroit, and now at 95 million homes. And I'm writing this book so that people, and I think all of us may have some ideas what to do, and I've learned that very clearly, but I also outline how you do it, you know, because everybody's got all kinds of advice, but really then you say, well, how do you do it? And this book will take you there and really explain to you in simple terms how you can change your life to get the best life that you possibly can. And as I think the title that you had, you can have it all. No doubt about it. With some consistency and effort, absolutely you can have it all.
And so your book is about being a health hero. What is a health hero exactly?
It's a great question. A health hero is really someone who takes his or her own health into their hands, meaning that they make health and wellness your biggest priority. They go beyond just the superficial and really delve deep in to find out what you need to do. So instead of finding out, you know, how I can accumulate more and more wealth or houses or whatever it is, you look and say, you know, what can I do to make my health, my wealth? How can I make my wellness my achievement? And so, you know, and I'm showing people how you do that. And again, it's not like you're climbing Mount Everest. You're doing small changes every day consistently, and that leads to huge rewards. And so health heroes realize that you are not your genes, meaning that you're not, just because maybe your parents and your grandparents had diabetes and heart disease, you're not doomed. So many of my patients, when I practice, Marbeth, they tell me that, you know, I don't know, I've got, you know, this family full of this disease. I don't know if I'm going to be the same. And they give up, and they think that there's really no hope. And so health heroes realize that you can shape your health like a piece of clay. You can make it, you know, what you want it to be. Of course, you know, people with family histories, it's very important to account for that. But what you do, like you say, how you move and what you eat and how spiritual you are and what kind of a tribe you belong to really can make a difference in your future. And you can be the master of your own destiny. And it's so clear to me. And in this book, I talk about how you can increase longevity, how you can really make well-being and joyful existence a reality and not just fiction.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And you talk about five pillars that are essential to being a health hero. And the first one, you talk about finding your purpose, which I thought was kind of surprising. So why did you include that?
Well, to me, Mary, that's a great question, because why is a physician here talking about purpose when you're talking about increasing your longevity? Because purpose, to me, is the crux of this of it all. If you have a purposeful life, right, if you have a life that is filled with purpose, you can then follow with eating mindfully. You can move purposefully. You can then try to cultivate your mind and really try to get the most out of spirituality and really use your body to the degree that it can to give you wellness. And you're willing to work with the tribe. Purpose is, to me, the key. And it doesn't mean people say, well, you know, I don't have an overwhelming purpose. I don't want to or can, you know, try to make a television show or write a book. I just want to live my life. That's fine. It doesn't have to be some huge, overwhelming, you know, purpose. It can be small, purposeful activities during the day. So one of the exercises I tell my patients is that make a board or, you know, some sign or a white piece of paper that you can have in your bathroom, living room, kitchen, wherever you hang out. And on the left side, make all the activities in the day that you've done purposeful. And on the right side, the ones that you feel really don't achieve the purpose that you have. If you do that consistently, guess what? You are going to do your best to then take out the activities, if you can. Some people cannot because of their work and whatnot. But if you can, you'll cut out the ones that are not purposeful and increase the ones that have purpose. And why is this all important? Now data has shown that, you know, one of the things that a lot of people worry about as they get older is dementia. 52% decrease in dementia if you have a purposeful life. Amazing. 33%. Yeah. A third, you cut your risk of heart disease, number one killer, by a third. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then you increase your longevity by 5 to 7 years. Amazing, right? Amazing. So just by having real purpose. So to me, that's what starts. And then the other five pillars, you can eat mindfully. I mean, what you put in your mouth is so important because it can shape the products of your genes. Unbelievable. There's a whole topic called nutrigenomics where the nutrition that you have can shape your genes, right? It can change your destiny, so to speak. I also then, the other pillar that I love to talk about is purposeful movement. And one of my favorite stories is vulture watching, Merbeth. And people say, what do you mean vulture watching? And I say, I work at a facility where I practice, and right next to that is a giant gym. And I'm always amused as I look out the window and I watched the cars as they circle the parking lot trying to get as close as they can to the entrance because it's not time to exercise. If they could be carried in and stopped on their treadmill, they'd be happy. That is not purposeful movement, right? Lifting this heavy weight and then dropping it so that it makes a loud noise as you turn around and watch and make sure people are watching. That's not purposeful movement. The data that shows increased longevity, decreased disease, is with when you garden, when you play with your children, when you walk your dog, when life becomes your workout. That's when it makes a difference. Not when you just sporadically do things, you know, that you're supposed to because you're in the quote-unquote gym. And then I think cultivating your mind, using mindfulness, spirituality, yoga, even prayer, whatever it takes, really can change the entire script for you. It changes the paradigm. And what it does is, instead of asking for yet another pill, many of my patients come in and tell me that, you know, I want a Xanax, which is an anxiolytic, for those of you who've not used the brand name, but Xanax and Ativan. They don't even tell me what their problem is. They come in, Mary Beth, and say, I want Ativan. And I take a step back and I said, have you ever tried doing mindfulness or meditation? And they're amazed. And I tell them to give me 5 minutes with each of my five pillars, and I tell them that it will change your life. And almost always, that's the case, because people don't even stop for a minute, let alone 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So that's an important pillar, using your mind and spirituality to really make a difference in your health and improve your wellness. And lastly, your tribe, you know, doing things, and you know this very well because you do so many things with your tribe. You're having a tribe like yourself, like-minded people who can support you. Not yes people, not people that say, oh, everything you do is great, but people that can help you to be able to get a goal accomplished. So when my buddy calls me at 6 a.m. and I'm out, I have to go take a walk, you know what? I will get up and do it because, you know, I have promised and I made a commitment. I'm committed to that person. And that goes to everything in your life. If you do it as a tribe, you can really thrive. And so when you put all these five pillars together, you are a force to be reckoned with, meaning that, you know, your life and wellness can really be in your hands. That's why I'm excited about it. It's a message of optimism. It's a message of paying your health forward and thriving with your grandkids, you know. And so people have done it all throughout our history, and you can as well.
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful. And when you're talking about purpose, it made me think about Viktor Frankl and logotherapy. I don't know if you know about Viktor Frankl, but he was in a concentration camp with his, yes. You know, he had just been married. He was taken away with his family. He was actually in four different concentration camps. And throughout the whole ordeal, he just kept focusing on what was meaningful for him. And he just noticed that people who had a vision of the future, whether it was something really significant or, you know, that they were going to return to their loved ones, they were the most likely to survive. And he wrote about that in Man's Search for Meaning. So when you started to talk about the purpose, that's immediately what came to my mind, because to have that, well, for him, it was meaningfulness, but it's the same thing. It's your purpose, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's interesting. In the first chapter of my book, and I've got it in front of me, it's Find Your Purpose. And I quote Frankl and what he stood for. And he talked about how people, when they lose their sense of purpose, even in a setting as horrific as he was in, he writes, and I quote in the book, that people, when they lost their purpose, is when they started to actually die. When you lost your sense of purpose, your sense of fulfillment, your sense of the fact that you are doing something meaningful, when you lose that, you've lost pretty much everything. Because then you wander aimlessly like a leaf on an autumn day, just wherever the wind takes you. And why that's important and why that's critical from a medical standpoint is that when you are aimless and when you're not purposeful in your actions, then you are stressed on a microscopic level. And a story I always tell my students as well as people when I'm talking is that, you know, humanity throughout history has stayed alive because we wanted to eat lunch and not be lunch. You know, it's always that great spirit that kept us alive. And that spirit is the fight or flight or freeze response, right? And when you have less purpose, when you are agitated and stressed, that same reflex is preserved. Your body doesn't know that things have evolved. All it knows is, you know, you're being chased by the tiger. And so on a microscopic level, all of those stress hormones are increased, cortisol, ACTH, and what you're doing is you're increasing inflammation on a microscopic level. And then the diseases that kill us, heart disease, diabetes, strokes, hypertension, all of it, you know, are increased. And that's why purpose has such an enormous impact on health, even long-term and short-term. So I think I'm glad you brought up Frankl, because I write about it in my book, in my first chapter, in fact. And purpose to me is really, it's not everything, but it's one of the most fundamental steps you have to take in order to really achieve wellness and good health.
Wow. I didn't know that. So that's very exciting. We'll be back in just a moment, and we're going to get into nutrition with Dr. Nandy. Is the daily grind getting you down? How would you like to trade in your stress and struggle for peace, love, abundance, and joy? I'm Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama. Even if you are struggling in your relationships, health, or peace of mind, you can have it all. Don't waste another day. Learn my simple secrets to eliminate stress and struggle in my free report, 7 Easy Steps to Harness the Power of Miracles. Go to miracles101.com to get your free report today. That's miracles101.com. Well, we are back, and we are here with Dr. Partha Nandy, talking about his new upcoming book. It will be out when, Partha? When is the book coming out?
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. You know, it's coming out in September, September 12th, 2017, this year. So it's coming out then, but you can also get it even before then if you pre-order, and I'll be happy to share the details of that.
Well, all of that's going to be on the webpage, on your show page, on Having It All Radio, which I'm very, very happy to share. Yes, we have a link and everything, your social media, all about you. You have your own show page. So your book has a nutrition plan. So I'm very much into nutrition. My grandmother was into nutrition. So she used to read Rodale Press and all kinds of books. She was very much into it. And I've actually followed her footsteps. I love nutrition. I love very much a foodie. So I'm very interested in learning about the nutrition that you promote.
Yeah, it's called a Health Hero Nutrition Plan. You know, I write about that. And it's actually the second chapter in my book. And to me, it's really all about avoiding the diet. And I think diet should be a word that should be banned. And I think I'm actually going to apply in the dictionary to see if diet can be used as a synonym for failure. And lots of people, everybody that you know of, including I'm sure you have and I have, we've all been folly to follow a diet only for it to fail. Because to me, diet is deprivation, and I think diet means that you're going to give something up, and you just release a whole set of behaviors that lead you not to be able to sustain it. So my approach is really about having a healthy lifestyle. Once you achieve a purpose and you feel like you have a purposeful life, then you can be more mindful about what you eat. So you don't just watch a sporting event and just chug down a bunch of potato chips or put just a bunch of crap in your mouth, but rather you think about what you're putting in your mouth. And I think it's that simple. Now, if you don't have purpose in your life and you don't really, you know, you're not following any sense of direction, then it's more difficult because the why is not there. I mean, in order to feel better and eat better, you have to have a why. For me, it's I want to be able to see my kids graduate college and do well, and I want to see my grandkids do well. And I know in order to do that, I have to be able to eat mindfully. And then follow some simple rules. I want people to have mainly a plant-based diet. And I have a couple of rules. I have an 80-20 rule and eat to your two-thirds full rule. So I have the two-thirds rule and the 80-20 rule. So I'll go over that. The 80-20 rule is 80% of the time, really, really try to adhere to a really nice nutrition plan and do all the right things and eat the food that you know you're supposed to. But 20% of the time, you know, maybe I'm having dinner with Mary Beth in a place where everything is not so great. So you got to enjoy those times. You can't sit there and just fret about that all day long, because just worrying about that you're depriving yourself and that you can't do this, you know, whether it's a birthday party or a work party, you know, you don't want to deprive yourself of the things you enjoy. So if you do that 20% of the time and 80% of the time you're doing everything that you know you should, you come out ahead. And if you can do 100% time, even better. But it's just not realistic because life gives you so many challenges in where you cannot always stick to your plan. So that's the 80-20. The two-thirds full is this. This is really important. The Okinawans have done it forever. And what you do is you eat, but you don't eat until you're completely just busting full. You don't have to feel that way in order to feel like you've nourished your body. Remember, food's supposed to nourish your body and your soul. And so you don't have to be busting full to be able to have that goal. And so if you eat until you're two-thirds full, what happens is that your brain often lags behind your stomach. By the time you realize you're full, it's a little too late. So if you wait until you're about two-thirds full, and you know, kind of know what that feeling is like, where you feel like you've eaten something, but you're not uncomfortably full. If you do that, most of your weight goals will be achieved. Now, it just depends on what your nutrition is for. Is it that you want to be a chiseled, six-pack or fit in that tight bathing suit? Well, that's a different goal. You know, to me, nutrition and movement and purpose, really leads toward a life that's meaningful that you can achieve with wellness, not to show off your body. And so if you do that, it'll be fantastic. And in my book, I really talk about recipes and how to accomplish this, food groups that are phenomenal. I talk about a whole superfoods cookbook that we're excited to give away to your listeners. And the superfoods, I pick the best superfoods that my family and I love, and easy recipes that don't take hours to make, but you know, that take minutes to prepare, and they can really yield benefits. So we feel that nutrition, and I think I kind of talked about this a little earlier, but nutrition can really change the game. So we used to think that, you know, there's a lot of what your family has and what your genetics have to offer, and that really controls your destiny. But we now know with nutrigenomics that what you put in your mouth can really make a difference. So if you put whole foods that you try to prepare yourself, fruits and vegetables predominantly, and lean meats if you're eating meats, then you can really change your entire destiny. So what I mean by that is that you can control what's going in your intestine. Your intestine, you know, and its connections to the rest of the body, if you are feeding it healthy stuff and giving it great signals, it's going to then do the rest of the work for your body. So it's going to send great signals to your brain and then your heart and lungs and the rest of your body. So nutrition can be simple. It can be learned, but it has to be done consistently. Again, the key is that the stuff is not going to be so difficult that you can't do it, but you have to stick to it. And that's where the purpose and the mindfulness comes in, because then you have a goal and you can stick to your goal. That's the key. Not having some transient goals, some things like, oh, I have to go to a wedding and I got to fit in this dress. Well, that'll change in about 6 weeks and your wedding is done. What can you do? Where is the why that keeps you on track for your nutrition plan? And that's the key. And we go through and with exercises and workbooks and real techniques to be able to show you how to do that. It's great to talk about the what, but we also talk about the how in the book, Ask Dr. Nitty, 5 Steps to Becoming Your Own Health Hero. And the key is for longevity, well-being, and joyful life. It's not just to live longer in a nursing home and a feeding tube, but really thrive.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I know that so much has gone wrong in our culture with the junk food and the corn syrup and all of the additives that are in the packaged food. So if you're going to be making nutritious food from home using real food and not using sugar and corn syrup solids and processed food, I think you're going to make a huge difference, don't you think?
Well, I think it's tremendous. And I think that if you can just follow that rule consistently, you'll change the entire script. And so, for example, in my book, I talk about a warm quinoa salad. I mean, you know, this is a go-to salad for us, where we actually use whole foods. I mean, the ingredients are eggplant, onions, zucchini, a little olive oil, black pepper, cherry tomatoes. I mean, really good stuff. We put cumin in because that we believe is a superfood. Quinoa, one of my favorite foods, and you put it all together. It's fulfilling. It's delicious. There is no deprivation. To me, the path of the health hero is not one of deprivation, but one of joy and enjoyment and fulfillment. So you can really put these together in a way that's amazing and still fulfill all your needs. And I think that's the key, that instead of just going to a bag or a box, I tell my patients the first thing when they tell me they're struggling with their weight or they're struggling with their health and they don't know what to eat, I said, listen, what I want you to do is first quit taking the stuff that is in a bag or a box. First step. I mean, if you return those things around, almost always you'll find things you can't even pronounce. So if you can't even pronounce it, it shouldn't be in your mouth. And if you imagine if these things go into your intestine, I mean, the intestine's never seen it. It's the equivalent of a big green, goobly, sticky monster from God knows what planet with three eyes coming into your home and saying, hey, I want to have dinner with you. I mean, that's what's happening to your intestine. Every day it's being bombarded with stuff it's never, ever seen in our species history. And so what does it do? It attacks it. And it develops inflammation against these artificial foods and on a microscopic level. And that's the beginning of disease. And people ask me, you know, how can I feel so fatigued and weak? The stuff is in my gut. But they don't realize the inflammation that's in your gut is taking away the energy from the rest of your body, and it's connecting with the rest of your body. And that's why nutrition is such an important, important concept. And that's why it's one of my pillars that I have in this new book of mine.
I love that. I love that it's not about pushing pills, but really it's about taking control of your own health, being your own health hero. I love the whole concept. And I think it's wonderful that you're doing that. Do you find that it's controversial with other doctors?
You know, I think that it just depends who you talk to. You know, it's unusual for an MD to talk about, for example, purpose and spirituality and not, you know, talking about yet another pharmaceutical. Listen, I think everybody's trying to do the right thing. I don't think anybody's, you know, nobody's got an agenda they're trying to push. In my opinion, most doctors are good people. I know them all. I know not all of them, but I know so many of them. But here's what happens is that you have to go what's beyond the surface. And to me, it's not about adding more pills. It's how about taking pills away? If you follow the steps that we talk about, often you may be able to decrease some of the medicines for your blood pressure, for your diabetes, for any of the disease states, you may be able to actually decrease it. Now, I'm not proposing that everybody stop taking their pills and just do everything in our book and you'll be fine. That's not the point. The point is that, you know, you want to marry the best of Western medicine, which is tremendous. Increased our lifespan, made our lifestyle so much better than when we had before we had our miracles of Western medicine. But then marry it with Eastern medicine, all the lessons that have been there for thousands of years. And again, the combination, man, does it pack a punch. It's amazing. So that's what I'm looking for is, you know, how can we have less pills and still be able to thrive? How can we not have, you know, another procedure or surgery and instead, you know, use our natural body's mechanisms for healing, for taking away some of the disease states? Because we all have them. We just have to unlock them, but not with some magic potion or another 15, you know, a series of 15 books or tapes and supplements. Forget all that. You know, you want to just do things that are within your control, within your body's own purview and power. And that, to me, is exciting. Imagine a world where we have less pills and not more. I mean, my patients come in, Mary, with 20 pills sometimes, or upwards of it. And I love when we're able to decrease some of them. It's really quite nice.
It's wonderful that you can do that. I love your attitude. And, you know, I find, and I've been there. I have been really sick at different points in my life. And I know that sometimes when you're feeling really sick and it's really hard to think about changing your lifestyle because you're in pain or you're struggling or feeling like you really can't, you know, what do you do with people like that?
Yeah, when you know, all of us have it. You know, I don't claim to be a superhero. The superhero that really our tribe really loves is Batman. And you know why?
He's depressed.
What's that?
He's depressed.
He is, but nobody's real. You know, Batman really doesn't have any superpowers. I mean, think about it. The guy doesn't fly. He doesn't, you know, turn things into goobly goo. He doesn't have plastic ability, whatever. He does something very important. He does the best research that he can to really solve the problems and beat his arch enemies. He's fallible. You know, he gets into ruts and has to crawl out of them. But doesn't that remind you of us? I mean, that's humanity. I mean, Batman to me is the epitome of humanity raising themselves up. And to me, Batman is the ultimate health hero because what he does is he's looking out for the welfare of people around him. So he's a fictional character, but when you're in the dumps and when you're, you know, down and you don't want to do anything, you have to remember small changes, right? Small changes, incremental changes make the huge difference. You don't always have to climb Mount Everest in one day, right? You have to do it stepwise. And then that's why having a purposeful life, you realize that you what the path is. And the path is not always simple, and it's not always paved with wonderful roses, and maybe you can have a couple of thorns, and you have to understand that. And the healthier realize that step by step, eventually you will get through. And that means making small changes in your life, you know, finding out what in your life, you know, brings you joy, brings you purpose, and what doesn't. That list that you develop on the left-hand side, the right-hand side, how do I get rid of the right-hand side? How do I find out, you know what makes you joyful and feel fulfilled. How do I engineer my life so I can have more of that? Instead of saying, I wish I had a life like this person's, or I wish I had that, or I wish I had this, say, how do I make my life so that I can do the things that I enjoy? Now, look, realistically, some people, have constraints of your job, but still, you have to figure out what it is that makes you feel the best and have the most wellness, and then have your life be that. Instead of wishing and hoping and pining, you make your own destiny and reality because you know what makes you happy. And you can do small changes in your life that make a difference. For example, for me, when I travel quite a bit. If I ever have a chance, I was supposed to be in Atlanta 2 days ago, the flight was supposed to be in the evening. But to me, it's important and brings me joy to see my family. I did everything I could to change my life around to see my family. And I do that consistently. And that makes me happy because at the end of the day, I feel fulfilled and I feel really overjoyed when my family is with me and I get their the joy that they give me. It really invigorates me. So I engineer my life so I spend as much time with them as possible. It's a small example, but that's what you have to do. Instead of just wishing, hoping, and being down in the dumps, you make life your exciting adventure. You make life your workout. You make life your spiritual adventure. Because it's all out there for every one of us, if you just have to look for it and do it. And with this book, I show you ways in which you can really try to engineer life, ask yourself the right questions, and work at it so you can achieve the same goals that I'm talking about.
Beautiful. I find also that it's a matter of focus. If I'm focusing on how bad I'm feeling, if I'm focusing on the symptoms, they get worse.
Absolutely, 100%.
And the other thing that I found is that when I focus on my spirituality, everything shifts. So that really is my go-to place if I'm feeling really sick. And that's
our third pillar is the spirituality and cultivating your spirit and your mind. Really important. Yes. You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. So we're coming up for another break in another minute. But I think that's just so beautiful to just do the little steps. And focus on what's going to uplift you, and don't focus on what's wrong.
and coming up after the break, we'll talk about ways in which you can really change the entire script, and like you said, make that shift. Little examples of how you can do that, and I'd love to share that with your audience.
Ooh, exciting! Well, we'll be back in just a moment with more of Dr. Partha Nandy. Have you been stuck, really stuck? I'm Marbeth Dunn with a very special opportunity only for listeners of Having It All Radio. If you'd like to step out of victimhood to become a co-creator of your own abundance and success, sign up now for my Flash of Insight consult at yourmiraclepower.com/insight, INSIGHT. Not only will we work together one-on-one to release an issue that's been keeping you stuck, you will receive a special bonus, my signature Power of Joy audio program valued at $397. I've been there. I understand the hurt you're going through. Don't delay. Sign up now for your Flash of Insight consult, yourmiraclepower.com/insight.
Choosing to work with Marbeth Dunn was one of the smartest things I ever did. She has an intuitive gift that allows her to meet people where they are so that you can begin to peel away the layers of stuff that keep us from having that soulful and joyful journey that we want. I know in my personal and professional life, I experienced a new sense of well-being and I show up differently. I've had successes in those areas that I don't think were possible before I met and worked with Marbeth. I also have a new confidence in myself, and that makes a world of difference.
And we are back. And so let's talk about about these new techniques that we can do.
Absolutely. You know, we were talking about before the break about spirituality and what you can do with spirituality. And here's the key. As a physician, the reason why I care so much about it is because, just like you mentioned, Maribeth, is that you can make a shift when you really try to concentrate on your spirituality. And again, what's happening? It's a very basic idea, is that we decrease all of our stress hormones when you shift your focus into your spirituality. So whether you're praying, whether you're doing meditation, mindfulness, heartfulness, yoga, tai chi, you're doing the same. What you're doing is the same techniques in your mind. You're releasing all of those thoughts that come through, the extra noise and the stress that comes with it. When you do that, you know, again, the stress hormones are decreased, and it leads to what we talked about, longevity and well-being, decreased disease states. And so I tell my patients, all I want you to do is give me 5 minutes that can change your numbers and change your life. Because a lot of them have never experienced meditation. They think meditation is going up to some mountain, sitting there and cross-legged and saying om, and just try to figure it out. And, you know, these notions of what you're supposed to do, you know. And so I tell them it's pretty simple. You can go anywhere in your house or outside if it's comfortable, and what you do is just focus on your breathing and your thoughts. And they go, well, I can't get rid of all my thoughts. I said, you don't have to. One of the mistakes people make is that they think that they have to really get rid of all your thoughts and be this super expert, you know, person meditating, and that's just not the case. And you can, when you're concentrating on your breathing, when you're concentrating on your thoughts, even for 5 minutes, what you're doing is you are then giving your body an opportunity to relax and shift away from all of the things that are holding you back, all the things that are decreasing your abilities to be able to be healthy, to be able to be efficient and achieve. And then what you're doing is you're making those techniques are making you able to succeed far more. If you can just give me 5 minutes, and then once you feel better and you realize the same way that you feel right now after doing some of these techniques, I teach them simple yoga, I teach them simple areas, and if they like to pray, any of those techniques, you're doing the same thing as you would with some of these medications that they want to take. You know, they come to me, please give me my Xanax, give me my pain medication, because they all want to do the same thing. They want to be able to try to stop some of the pain, stop some of the stress, stop some of the noise. And with using simple techniques that I describe in detail in my book, I talk about how you can do that. So many ways you can accomplish this, because it's all within us. The reason why it's simple, it's all within us, and we're just unleashing the power. And you just have to have a little nudge, and you know this, Mary, but just a little nudge, and you can go in the right direction. There's so many ways you can achieve spirituality. But they lead to the same path, and that's the path of the health hero, really understanding who they are, what they're doing, and being present in the moment. And now, you know, it's not just conjecture. It's not just me talking about it or saying my tribe's doing it. There's objective evidence that shows people who are mindful, people who meditate, have disease states that are far less, have longevity that's increased, so much so that Fortune 500 companies hire experts in meditation, experts in mindfulness, experts in yoga to come and teach their corporate clients. They also, professional baseball, basketball, football teams, they all hire these folks. And so it's really important. And all of us have heard of Michael Jordan, right? The best basketball player of all time. You've heard of him, right, Marbet?
Of course.
Yeah, so Michael, you know, in his heyday, scored an enormous number of points. And then he had a coach called Phil Jackson. Phil sat him down and said, you know what, I'm going to give you a book, and I want you to sit cross-legged, and I want you to understand this technique of mindfulness. Michael said, what? You brought me down here to tell me this stuff, and this is about basketball, man. And then eventually Michael understood. And then when he understood, he won 6 championships. And because he was able to unleash the power of the mind, he said, there's 20,000 fans screaming and there's people coming at me. When I was able to meditate and be mindful, it was just me and the basketball. Now, he used it to achieve success, excellence in his basketball. But you can do it just to be what? To be able to control your diabetes, right? Control your hypertension. Take away some of the autoimmunity. That's how powerful your mind is when you are able to decrease some of the stress and some of the hormones and chemicals that are released. You can decrease inflammation in every cell of your body, not just one cell or two. Every single cell, they all feel it, because guess what? It's just like the rest of humanity. Cells gossip. They talk to each other. Say, hey, you know what? That Partha, he's thinking about the right things. You know, I think that we've got something good going here, and let's all work together. But if I'm caustic and I'm like, it's going to be terrible. I can't believe this. My gosh, this job is terrible. This bus is terrible. This train is packed. Guess what your cells are saying? Oh, this is terrible. I can't wait to get out of here. It seems a little simplistic, but really, it's not far from the truth. Cells communicate all the time. I did a Facebook Live, Mary Beth, talking about heart, the heart and the brain connection. There are brain cells within the heart, so they can talk to the brain. Imagine that.
Of course.
If your mood doesn't change and if you don't use spirituality, the rest of your body suffers.
Actually, you know, the Institute of Heart Math did studies on the heart, and the field of the heart is actually the electric field of the heart is like 5,000 times more powerful. Electromagnetic field is 5,000 times more powerful than that of the brain. That's been scientifically proven.
Because the brain, you know, the heart does 2 things. One, it pumps blood, but the other thing is it conducts electricity, right? It conducts all this energy in order for the heart to be able to function. So that's why they have cardiologists now that specialize just in electrophysiology. It is absolutely, you're right on the money, and it's interesting. And all these organs talk to each other. Nothing's isolated.
Wow. You know, I'm an empath.
Yeah.
So I feel, you know, in my body what's going on with other people. It doesn't matter. It's because of quantum entanglement. I can feel it, even though they might be on the other side of the world. You know, if they're having, their body actually sends me like a computer printout. And I love the fact that when we are mindful, when we start to meditate, become aware of other people, we start to exude peace. And that peace affects other people all around us as well. They don't understand why, but they like being around you because it makes them feel good.
No,
so
doubt
that's
about
another
it. You're
benefit.
Talking about, you're talking about tribes, you know, and tribes of people. And I think, you know, to me, the next revolution of humanity is not going to be the next biggest giant phone or electronic device or some technological miracle. The next huge advancement of humanity is going to be the connections that human beings make with one another. So the transmissions that you're talking about will become so that not only is it a problem for somebody across the planet, it becomes our problem. You know, when a child from Chile suffers, it's my child as well. And spirituality and this togetherness with the tribe, it's going to achieve such an amazing level that I think what's going to happen is that humanity will then understand that we have to work with one another. Just as you have that power now, I think more and more people are going to tap into that power, and that's going to be the next revolution. Because then all the inequalities, all the craziness that exists in people will change. And I talk about my book, you know, how tribes have really shaped our entire species, right? Human beings, for as long as we know, right, they've existed, and we've thrived. Why? Because of the fact that we work in groups. So anything that you do together really is more successful, and that includes, you know, wellness and health, and doesn't just include, you know, something in the business world. So if you do things as a group, and the Okinawans have done it, they hang out with five people that they call their tribe for a lifetime, and those members of your tribe are not just yes people. They're not just your entourage saying, yeah, attaboy, Partha, that's great, everything you're doing is fantastic. No, they're there to truly support you and encourage you when you do things that are great, and give you advice when things are not so great. And why that's important, and why as an MD talking about it, is because it goes back and the same response. When you have a tribe that supports you and really gives you that empathy, they really gives you the bolstering that you need, you're not always in a constant level of stress, a constant level of disenchantment, a constant level of not being fulfilled. You can be fulfilled. You can understand what it's all about and understand that, you know what? That things are actually working in the right direction. Your tribe can help you achieve goals, and that reduces your stress in every part of your body. Again, just like I talked about with mindfulness, how the cells are talking to one another. When you have a tribe that's supportive, then you can really make changes in the way your body works. Your genes that could have been negative, the products of your genes are now being countered by the effects of your tribe, of spirituality, of eating with mindfulness, instead of just eating mindlessly, purposeful movement, and then with your purpose. Again, the combination is really just fantastic. It's a message that there's hope and there's real chance of thriving. And that's exactly what you talk about to all your listeners. So I think it's right in line. So I applaud you for everything you're doing to spread that message as well.
Oh, of course. And through your five steps, you get to have it all.
You do. And it's not a panacea, but you've got to be able to do it consistently. Everybody gets on a bandwagon and they kind of do it, but you have to have some purpose and you have to have the why. Once you get the why, then everything else follows with far more ease and less difficulty. You don't have all those barriers. So the key is, you can have it all, but you've got to work at the why. And then once you have the why, it really flows. You never have to convince a sports enthusiast to figure out how to get to a game. Second nature.
That's true.
Right? You never have convince a nature lover to come out to see the birds sing. It's that kind of idea. Make it second nature.
And what I love about it also is that you have the support from your tribe. You're not alone. You're not alone at all. You either have the support from your tribe or you have the spiritual support. And you when you start to focus on your spirituality, you also feel supported. So it's just a total win-win. I love the whole concept. And I just want to remind our audience before we end our show in just a few minutes that Dr. Partha Nandi has a show page on Having It All Radio, havingitallradio.com. He is our featured show, and you will find him there and all about his book, which we've been talking about. It just sounds so exciting. I will get my copy, and you can get yours there on the page as well. So very, very exciting. So do you have any great words of wisdom that you would like to share? You've been sharing a lot of wisdom. So any more wisdom?
Absolutely. I think that one of the fundamental things, to kind of sum it up is that it is possible. You're not climbing a mountain. So many of our listeners and viewers around the world and the country, they are suffering in pain. I want to let them know it's not a mountain in front of them, and that you can climb your hurdles. Just small steps can lead to big results. And the first step is the one you make. And once you start on that path, if you give me 5 minutes of each pillar every day, it'll change your life. And it'll change your life forever.
Yes, it'll totally change your life. Focus on the positive. Don't focus on what's wrong. Focus on what you can be grateful for, and things will start to shift in a big way. So that's really beautiful.
Absolutely.
So, well, I loved this. This hour just flew by. I loved having you on the show. I hope you'll come back again.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. You're absolutely right. You make it very easy to talk to. to you and your audience. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. You have so much to share. And I love that coming from a man in a white coat.
Yes.
It's really so refreshing. I love it. So thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I look forward to seeing you on our next show on Having It All Radio.
Join Marbeth next week on Having It All. Visit havingitallradio.com to learn more about Marbeth Dunn and her special guests. And be sure to download your free report.